You often wonder on what you should speak about. And I've been spending my time this summer on Thursdays going to the old folks' home over there. And I began to look at different people in the Bible that came in contact with the Lord Jesus. And the last one I looked at was the woman at Sychar's well. So I asked the Lord, what do you want me to speak on here, Lord? And he seemed to say to me, and you may not agree when I get finished, but it was on the woman at Sychar's well. John the Baptist's time on earth was just coming to an end. His days were numbered. And it was time for the Lord Jesus, in a sense, to step in. And I suppose the Lord wanted to get out of the way of John. And so he says to his disciples, let's go up to Galilee. So they gather the group together, and off they go up the route through Samaria, up because that was the shortest route to get to Galilee. And I'm sure the Savior had in his mind that there was a man and a woman, a lot of people in that area that needed to know him as their Savior. And so they start off, and it's a hot day, a very hot day. And when they get a way up, the Lord says, let's turn aside. Let's go into Sychar. In his mind, I'm sure he knew that he was going to meet a woman at that well. So he goes in and he sits down, and the woman comes. If you have your Bible, maybe we can look at the Word of God and see exactly what is recorded. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with the journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. By the way, that well is still there today. We were over in Israel probably about 20 years ago now. And we went through this area, and there is a well there. And it's a deep well, 75 feet deep. And they said, this is Jacob's well. Well, whether it really is or not, I don't know. But there is a well there. And on this day that we're reading the scriptures, this is the target I'm sure that the Lord Jesus has in mind. Because at that well, he's going to meet a person who needs him so badly. So, he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with the journey, sat thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour. About, I don't know what clock is being used by John in writing this, but I think this is probably noontime. And so he walks in, and he sits down by the side of the well, and being weary with the journey, he sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This woman had a need, a tremendous need. She needed to know the Savior. She needed to drink, in a sense, of that living water, which would be, as far as we're concerned, salvation. And I say that to all of us here. I don't know everybody here. There was a day in my life's experience when I came to know the Savior as my very own. I put my faith, I put my trust in him. He gave me eternal life, because life is found in the Son. And so the Savior is interested in this woman's soul. He's interested in reaching her. He's interested in imparting to her the gift of life, just as he is to some here tonight, or this morning rather, who don't perhaps know Christ as their Savior. They've never come to that place where they reached out and accepted a free gift that God was offering them in terms of what the Lord Jesus had done at the place called Calvary. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that a person can come to know Christ. It's the day of opportunity. And the Lord Jesus wants this woman to come to the full realization that her sins are forgiven. But she's not that kind of a woman. She's going to give a battle to him. And we can look at some of the things that she says. She came to the well at a strange time. She was probably ostracized, actually. If it's noontime, there was nobody else there but her and the Savior. The women of the town probably came early in the morning and late in the afternoon, and probably she might have been part of the discussion about this woman, because she had had five husbands, and the husband that she had now, the Lord said, wasn't hers. So she was a woman with a past, a woman that was not appreciated by the people in town. She was what we call a sinner, a blatant sinner. But the Bible is very clear, isn't it? The Bible says to us that it's not just a blatant sinner, is it? For all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that takes us all in. We're all sinners. We're all bound for a lost sinner's eternity, hell. And this woman was in that position. And so the Savior begins to talk to her. He sat down, asked her for a drink of water, and the woman reacts to his request and said, You're a Jew, and you're asking me, a woman, for a drink? We don't have dealings with the Jews, because there was animosity between those that lived in this Samaria against the Jewish people. They did not get along together, though there were Jews living in Samaria. But the general gist of it was there was animosity between them. And so she tries to get the Lord, and the Lord answers is that if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking, he would have given you living water. The woman probably looked at the Lord and shook her head. She knew the well was deep. How is he going to get this water? She says, Are you greater than Jacob? Jacob gave us this well. He dug this well for us. And you, how are you going to give us this kind of water? The Lord answers, if a person drinks of this water, he will thirst again. But I can give you a well of water that will spring up to life eternal. And that's what it is. When you come to know Christ, things so change in your life. Many people think, oh, you're a Christian. You can't do this, you can't do that, you won't do this, you can't do other things. But that's not so. The greatest life, thank you. The greatest life is the life that Christ gives. When Christ comes into a person's life, he changes that life. He gives them a new direction in life. He gives them a new status in life. He becomes what we would call a son of God through faith in him. This woman, she ridiculed. But then she said, sir, give me this water so I won't thirst again. And under her breath, she probably said, I can stop coming to this place. Because she was the gossip of the town. She felt that, and I'm sure she did. She felt the animosity that was directed in her direction by the rest of the town, because she was a woman known. Everybody knew her. She had had five husbands, and she had done this, and she had done that, and she wasn't in the best circles, and she was somewhat of a stranger because of her lifestyle. The Lord Jesus asked, are you greater than Jacob? Because Jacob was the one that had initially dug the grave, and he gave us the well, she said. Are you greater than Jacob? The Lord answered and said to her, if a person drinks of this water, he'll thirst again. But if he takes what I have, he'll never thirst again. He will have a well of water springing up into eternal life. And that's what happens when you come to Christ and when you receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You become a child of God. You become one who knows his sins are forgiven, knows that he's on the way to heaven. It's nothing short of a miracle that can take a sinner of any kind, a sinner like this woman is, who has had five husbands and is working on the another one. The Lord can take whoever you are. He can make you over. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new, Scripture says. And so this woman said to the Lord, sir, give me this water so I won't thirst again. And stop, under her breath, she probably said, stop coming to this well. But she has problems. There are things in her life that need to be dealt with. And the Lord says to her, call your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. The Lord says, you have really spoken the truth. You have no husband. You've had five already, and the one you are living with isn't your husband. Then what she does next is she tries to switch the subject to religion. She says, you're a prophet. The gal is crafty. She's quick thinking. Let's get into a theological discussion and question. Then this morality issue, which I can't really explain and don't want to discuss. Let's make a little detour. Let's talk about something else. So she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And I got a theological question for you if we read the text down. Where should we worship? here in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, which is in that area right there? Should we worship here? And the Lord Jesus says, the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. The Father is seeking people, seeking persons to come, to take his Son as their Savior. I don't know if there are some here that have never made that decision to take Christ as your Savior. It's a free gift. God provided that gift. He spared not his only Son, but freely delivered him up for us all. He went to that place called Calvary, and they nailed him upon a tree. And his last words were, "It is finished." Whatever the cost of redemption, he paid it all. Hymn writer said, "I paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." The Savior is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And each one of us in this room that have had that experience came to that point in time when we realized that we needed a Savior. There was no other way that we could ever get to heaven. We were dead in trespasses, dead in sin. We were on a broad and a crowded road that leads to destruction. But God had a plan for all of us. He delivered up his own Son. Tremendous to think that the Son of the eternal God went to Calvary's cross. He was lifted up and hung on that cross. They mocked him. They jeered at him. They sneered at him. But he died on that cross. "Father, forgive them." His words were, "Forgive them. They know not what they're doing." And so on that cross, he paid the price himself, the sacrifice. And ere it was, he died, he said, "It's finished." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so that's what, in a sense, the Lord is offering to her. He's offering to her eternal life, and that's the offer that God makes to you and to me, eternal life. This life is found only in his Son. Otherwise, we're going to be always going, and soon we'll be gone into a lost sinner's hell, into an eternity with no escape. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And all will be judged according to their reception or rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman didn't really realize that at the point. And she's telling, "Are you greater than Jacob? He dug the well, he gave us the well. Are you greater than..." And that's when the Lord says, "He that drinks of this water will thirst again," in contrast to what he wanted to have spring up in her life, eternal life. Her answer is, "Sir, give me this water so I won't thirst again." And under her breath, she probably said, "And stop coming to this well anymore." But she's not ready. There are things in her life that need to be dealt with. The Lord says, "Call your husband." She says, "I have no husband." The Lord says, "You have really spoken the truth. you've had five husbands already, and the one you now live with isn't your husband. Well, she doesn't want to travel that road too much farther. She tries to switch the subject, if we were to read it in the scriptures, to religion. She says, you're a prophet. This gal is crafty and quick thinking. Let's get into this theological question. In her inner mind, let's get beyond this morality issue that you've been talking about, and I can't really explain. She wants a little detour, plus a little praise would be in order. Sir, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. And I got a theological question for you. Where should we worship? Here, in this mountain, or in Jerusalem? The Lord says, neither place. You don't know what worship is. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. And the Lord Jesus does today too. He's looking for true worshipers, those that will accept him as their Savior. Once you accept him, you want to worship him. You want to come to the meeting, where the breaking of bread, where he said, do this in remembrance of me. There's nothing better than being at the Lord's table, singing those hymns of praise, hearing the scriptures read, thinking afresh of that man who went to that cross called Calvary. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We have him as our Savior. Those of us who have put our faith and our trust in him. He came into the world. He left heaven above to go to the cross that he might pay for your sins and pay for my sins. If you come to Christ, put your faith in him. You'll sing that hymn, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Oh, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. There's nothing like knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have received the Lord Jesus. You've made him the Savior in your life. I remember the night after, I was saved at night in Waterbury, Connecticut, talking to the hymn writer, Norman Clayton, actually. And the next day, I remember walking. We lived out in the country, and I was walking along the railroad tracks, and this sounds probably stupid. I just rode in the snow because it was in January. God is love. For the first time in my life, I came to realize how much he loved. I was raised in a Christian home, gone to the assembly under duress all my life. Took Christ, it changes your outlook, it changes your perspective, it changes your destiny in Christ. There's no place like being in Christ. I walked along the railroad tracks and I rode in the snow, God is love, and the first time I realized he loved me and he gave himself for me. And you can have that same experience yourself even if you don't know now. If you take Christ, if you put your faith in him, the man who went to the cross and died that you might have life, you can have life with a capital L. You can know what it is to have eternal life. And not only do you have, I think, the best life on earth, but you've been given a place in heaven. There's a day coming when we'll all be home. The Lord Jesus might come today. We don't know. He may come and rapture the church and every believer will be caught up together in clouds to meet him in the air. The Bible says, and so shall we ever be with him. It's a happy day. happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. This gal, she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. I got to, she didn't want the answer that the Lord was going to give her. The woman again shifts the gears and she says, I know that the Messiah cometh, who is the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. It must have been a shock to her when the Lord Jesus said, I am he. He is the one that we're waiting for. I am he. The disciples arrive at this time and were flabbergasted, I guess, that the Lord had been talking to this woman. The woman left her water pots and began to witness to one and all. Come see, she said, a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? What had happened? She had opened her heart and she received the Lord Jesus as her Savior. If you haven't done that, if you've never really opened your heart, you could do it today. There's no time like the present. Tomorrow isn't promised to any one of us. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace. This is the time that God wants to do business with you if you have not saved. He wants you to be saved. That's why he sent his son into the world on a mission, a rescue mission, to rescue you, to bring you out of darkness into light, bring you out of being a person controlled by Satan to be a person who is loved of the Lord Jesus. What a position we have in him. Paul said, he loved me. He gave himself for me. And that's the greatest thing in the world you can say. When you can say with a surety, he loved me. He gave himself for me. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Lord and Savior. Well might this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. The disciples arrive at this time and they're flabbergasted that the Lord has been talking to the woman. And the woman left her water pots and began to witness to one and all that a man which told, come see, she said, a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? So when we become his, we have a message to tell. We have a story to tell. We have an experience to tell that they don't know anything about. Peace, reconciliation, all these things that a Christian enjoys. We should be telling others what we've received. Who were once afar off. We were like this woman. We didn't really want anything to do with this, but when we come into the family of God, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, which is the best we can ever get, to be a new creature in Christ. The woman left her water pots and she began witnessing to one and all. Come see, she said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? So she witnessed. I don't know how many people got saved. I bet you there were a lot of people in Syker, in that area, that got saved because of this woman. They knew what she was. And to see a transformation in this woman who was a subject of a lot of gossip and talk, to see that what really took place, it had to speak to those people. No wonder the first part of the verse or the chapter, he needs go through Samaria. There was a person there, just one person, but it, in a sense, it lit a flame that engulfed a whole settlement, and they became believers, many, because of the witness of this woman. And she says, is this not the Christ? The disciples come back and they try to get Christ to eat. And he says to them, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman who testified, he told me all that ever I did. And many more believed because of his word, own word. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We're the same, most of us in this auditorium. We have a story to tell. We have a place that we receive Christ as our Savior. We have the message of God about his Son. We believe that. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a wonderful thing to know him as your Savior. It's the best thing that you can ever become the possessor of. In him was life. We're dead, the scriptures say, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We're alienated from God. We're on a broad and a crowded road that'll lead to a lost sinner's eternity. But we don't have to go there. We can have a home in heaven. We can have a place there with the saints of all the ages. And we look for him to come to take us, to rapture us, to take us up to be with him, which is, Paul said, far better. I don't know what you're resting on this morning. I don't know what you believe. Some of you know some of you, but I don't know all of you. If you've never made that commitment, what better day than today? Today is the accepted time, the day of salvation, the day that God, in a sense, wants to do business with you. He wants you. He loves you. He gave his Son. Best known verse in the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a future we have, those of us that have accepted that free gift, have accepted God's gift to all humanity. Many are called, but few are chosen. But those that have chosen Christ never regret it. There is no other life worth living than the living for Him, not only in this life, but throughout all eternity. My thought comes through my mind, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when I behold Him far beyond the sea? Can you say that? Can you say, I know Him? I love Him because of what He did for me. What better time than right this morning? No fanfare, no money involved. It's just the will and the heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He wants you. He died on that cross that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's offering a free gift to each one of us today if we accept Him as our own. May God help you to make that choice. You'll praise God for all eternity on the choice of His Son as your Savior. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You that He had time to stop at this village long ago. He knew there was a woman there that needed to talk to Him, who needed salvation. Our Father, He laid aside whatever else might have been to go to seek out that woman. We thank You. We read in Your word, He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we confess before You that each of us were lost, dead in trespasses and sin, in need of a Savior. So we pray that if any here have not accepted You, Lord Jesus, as their Savior, they might do it today. Open their hearts and invite You to come in and live within them and get life, which is life indeed. For our Father, we do ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.